Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of the Let's Talk It Out podcast. If you tuned in last week, man, it was really fun for everybody to talk. We got a lot off our chest. I plan on doing that. Like I said, this is going to be a reoccurring thing for quite some time, man. I don't feel like I'm not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. But before I get too far into what we're talking about tonight, I just want to take time out to thank everyone who reached out to me in any kind of way. Anyone who reached out to me on Facebook, people reached out to me on Instagram, Snapchat, on Twitter. I had some of the Barflies and some of the people walk up to me at the Bears game on Sunday, because I went to the Bears game, and they just pretty much just like were really open about, hey, Trey, you know, I'm really happy about what you're doing. I'm happy about the show. You know, I've dealt with this my whole life. I've felt like I've never had anybody to talk to, and that kind of thing, man. That shit fires me up, man, because some of the messages I received, just like literally, like some of the things you guys go through, it's on my mind. I'm thinking about everyone. I'm not just thinking about myself. I think about everything that you guys told me. Anything that you guys have ever sent me a message about saying, I've thought about afterwards, not just a few minutes afterwards, like later on. Sometimes I think about it to the point where sometimes I stay up at night sometimes thinking about it. I just want to be out. I just want to be available. Like I told you guys last week, I'm available if you need to reach out to somebody and talk to them. Whenever you feel like you need someone to talk to, I'm the guy that you can reach out to. So, like I said, thank you, everybody. I appreciate everybody who has said anything to me, as far as like thanking me or just saying even encouraging words. Like people saying, I really appreciate what you're doing, that you guys are really appreciated, honestly. So without further ado, I would like to say I have a special guest tonight. She is a professional outpatient therapist for Ada S. McKinley. Her name is Kia Dean. Kia, please tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everybody. Thank you again, Barroom and Alex, for inviting me onto the show. I have a background in psychology. I've been dealing with mental health specifically for the last 6 years, and I have been employed as an outpatient therapist over the last year. So being a community-based agency, you can imagine the things that I get exposed to and just the different experiences and the different people that I come across in the field of work that I do.
I reached out to Kia because, I mean, obviously she is a professional in the mental health field. So with her being a professional, she's encountered a lot of different personalities, different people, different situations. And I reached out to her because I want her to come on to the show and interact with you guys with questions. But we have a few topics we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to get into those a little later, but like I said, I want to thank everybody again. You know, I haven't thanked you guys enough because, like I said, this is the second episode of the podcast, and the amount of love I've been getting, man, this has been just nuts. Like, some people I didn't get a chance to respond to, that's how much love I've been getting, man. It means a lot to me to know that something as simple as me just talking to you guys for an hour once a week means that much to you. Me listening to you guys, me responding to you guys, make you feel comfortable enough for you to say what you have to say in the chat room. That means a lot to me. That was my vision is reality right now. This was an idea in my mind, and you guys have made it into reality, which is it's crazy to think about seeing that happen. So just like I said, thank you to everybody that's reached out to me and everybody who shared anything. I really appreciate this so much. You guys have no idea. So the topics me and Kia plan on discussing tonight, self-realization. Kia, you want to give people a little bit about what you mean by self-realization?
Sure. Okay, so basically self-realization is the realization, or I guess the acknowledgement of one's own full potential. So whatever characteristics that it is about yourself that you're either trying to get rid of or you're trying to, personify, that will be considered self-realization. Through the process of like self-realization, I guess.
Did we lose Kia? Is Kia gone?
No, can you hear me?
There you are. Okay, I thought we lost you for a second. You on an Android? You gotta get rid of Android. Gotta get rid of it.
No, no, no. this is an iPhone. Thank you.
Apple is the way to go.
Yeah, but continuing what I was saying, though, it's like any characteristics that you would like to change about yourself, you first have to acknowledge exactly what those are. You can have an idea of how you would like to be, but if you can't look within yourself and call out yourself for the things that you feel like is holding you back, then it makes progress that much more difficult.
So we're going to talk a little bit about self-realization. And then another thing we want to talk about is recognizing triggers. And I'm going to go ahead and go a little bit into that. Now, when I say triggers, you know, certain things about our day-to-day life trigger our mind to go straight to something. It could be something bad, it could be something good. You know, triggers is always to be something bad, but trigger like anxiety, for example. Certain things trigger anxiety, like you being in an elevator with like 40 people, and it's like you're close to someone. You're so close to somebody, you can smell what they have for breakfast. But that's that could trigger anxiety. What else we got? We got depression. You know, certain things could trigger depression. Seeing certain images, like seeing a loved one that passed away, seeing a picture of them could just make you feel an overwhelming amount of sadness. So there's a lot of things that there's different triggers. I'm sure, Kia, have you got any more triggers that you share?
I was just gonna say, like outside of like the physical things, like you have like the tone of people's voices. Sometimes that can be a trigger of like anxiety specifically. Like, you know, if you ever have anybody like talking at you rather than talking to you, like that would be like a major trigger for like a lot of people. It's just really anything that's gonna like take you to like that next level. You know what I mean? And typically when we say triggers, it is, you know, because okay, for something bad that's happening. But I like how you said, like, it's not necessarily like always something negative. You know what I mean? Something could trigger you to do something good for the next person. You know? So, what other triggers are there? I mean, being
anger. Anger triggers.
Yeah, exactly.
And being angry leads to a lot of things. Anger can lead to anxiety for sure. Mm-hmm. Certain things that triggers us that just like literally, like I've caught myself the other day. I was in the car driving home and I was stuck in traffic, man. I was just like wondering, like, why the hell is there traffic right now? It's like fucking 2:30 in the afternoon. So I was really upset. So I had to calm down, you know, disengage from what was pissing me off. Put on some music, let the window down, relax a little bit. But there's certain things that recognizing our triggers. Another thing that we're going to talk about tonight is different stigmas against mental health treatment. Like certain people are afraid to get help for what's going on with them because they feel like they would be judged. I'm assuming they mm-hmm. feel like that their family would talk about them behind their backs to other family members. Friends will look at them differently, not hang out with them. This is a stigma, especially inside the minority community about mental health treatment. A lot of us don't get the treatment we deserve because for whatever reason, like we feel like we'll be viewed differently or something like that. Kid, you got something to say about that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like in the minority community specifically, what you'll see a lot of the times is people that have a lot of like home hurt. Like they were brought up not to show their emotions, you know, just to kind of hide them or just get over it. You know, that's a big deal. And the minority community specifically. And then as far as like just general people getting help, you know, like you said, it's not always the most trusted method of help. You know, people look at a therapist like, okay, this is a stranger. I'm just supposed to unload my whole life onto this person as if they really honestly, truly care or even, you know, care to even try to understand. So that's one of the stigmas, you know, about actually seeking help, you know, going to that next level to help yourself out. And then it's not always the most affordable option, you know what I mean? You know, any type of healthcare is not easily accessible when you talk about finances, but what people don't realize that, you know, like agencies like ADA, we do offer, you know, financial services, you know what I mean? So if you're in like you have community-based things like in your own communities, you know, if you go to like your local rec center, oftentimes they have maybe not offering the exact service at that initial rec center, but typically they'll have information about where you can go get services in your community. A good website that I like too is goodtherapy.org that you could go to, and you could look up therapists in your area based upon ethnicity, the needs, you know, if you need marriage counseling or any type of relationship counseling, you know, and anxiety, depression. It's very specific based. So you could really narrow it down to people in your community, what you would like to see, and then it can go from there in your search. So just some things that people could do if they are thinking about seeking help. Because like I said, this isn't, it's like almost like a taboo, you know, in the world today to even think that you need help mentally when, you know, everything really starts with the mind. Every dream that has come to fruition has started with a thought in the mind. So
I want to ask you one more. I want to ask you one more time, Kia. What was that website you said? So Aldo could type it out for the chat room. What's the website?
Goodtherapy.org.
Goodtherapy.org. And what can that website provide for us?
Localized therapists.
So
based upon the need of the client. Yes.
Okay, so it'll help you find therapists within your community based on what you need. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Exactly. And then to know what they specialize in, what type of insurance they take, or if they, you know, they don't take insurance, you know, things of that nature. It's very detail-oriented. I really like that website. I always recommend it to some of my clients.
So I got a question for you, Kia. Like, can you share with us some of your strategies to manage those stress triggers that we were talking about? Like, we're gonna go right into the nitty-gritty. Like, just go right into it. Tell us some of your strategies to manage these things, these stress triggers that happen every day that we can't control from happening. Like, what's a good way for you to cope with those?
All right. So this is going to sound extremely cliche, and that's all right. It can, you know, because it kind of is. But at the same time, it works. you want to take really slow, deep breaths. And the purpose of taking deep breaths is not just to, like, you know, keep you calm from, like, snapping off on somebody, you know what I mean? That obviously it is a benefit of it, but it's more so it helps you process information that you just received that's going to trigger you, you know what I mean? It actually helps you, like, break things down and respond in a more rational way than you would if you just, like, oh, boom, triggered, ticked off, now I'm going to go off, you know? So if you could stop yourself in the moment, and I would say start off with, like, three to five deep breaths, you'll notice like the immediate change in your physical component of your body. Like, you know, your heart will kind of slow down because obviously, you know, heart racing is a symptom of being angry. Your heart will start to slow down. You might not actually be as angry as you initially started if you just stop and allow like your body to catch up with your brain. You know what I mean? So deep breaths is one of them. Another one, I guess, would be don't be irrational. That's a big thing with people. You know, I just encourage people to stay in the moment and embrace each moment of the day for what it actually is rather than what is to come or what could have been, you know, et cetera. So, like, for example, okay, you're late for work. All right, you're late now. You really can't do anything about it, so there's really no point of continuing to get aggravated on your drive on the way to work. You know, there's no need to get upset by every red light that you get caught at. You're already late. It is what it is. You know, keep it moving. So just don't be irrational with yourself.
Are you trying to attack me right now by saying that? Like, I don't understand. Why am I getting attacked like this? I get mad
You're
when
not
I'm
getting attacked.
This that's literally me.
This is specifically to help you then, Alex. You're welcome.
Okay. What else did you got for that?
Too late for that? Journaling helps. Or not even so much journaling, just writing things down. You know, like things that you want to say, you don't really know the words to say it, or the person isn't around for you to say it to them, whatever the case may be. You know, I would encourage people to write it down just to still get it out. You know, it's not good to keep bottling things up because we all know what happens if you keep bottling things up. You know, you think that they're gone, but that one last time that the straw's going to break the camel's back and it's going to be over with. You know, everybody's going to get cussed out everybody's getting the horn, you know? So I would just encourage people to write things down. If you don't want to keep it in fear of anybody else finding it, whatever the case may be, burn it up, tear it up. Yeah.
The main thing, journaling is a huge one, man. Like, that helped me out a lot. Writing down was what I was telling people last week on the last episode when we were talking about anxiety. One of the main ways I got over my anxiety was, this for people that didn't tune in last week, but I'll take a piece of paper and I'll put 3 bullet points. And the first point will be, because my anxiety would come, used to come from getting on the expressway. Like, I would freak out to the point where, like, I would literally feel like I'm about to pass out. I'd be sweating, palms be, you know, sweaty, forehead sweaty. I would literally pull over sometimes. Like, I used to have really bad anxiety about getting on the expressway. So one way I got over that is I took a piece of paper, and it was 3 points. One of them was, what am I anxious about? You know, what am I afraid about? What's going to happen? Why am I afraid about it? And my third point would be like, is it going to kill me? And I literally, after doing that, now I get, you know, I get on expressway, whatever. Now I'll drive backwards on it. Like I said, I don't care. Now I always get on expressway now. I don't have an issue with it no more. So.
Well, good. And I think that also goes with what I was saying about just remaining rational in across all situations, you know, like not thinking too far outside of the actual moment that you're in. And I think that is kind of, you know, that is really what anxiety is. It's the worry of what was behind us or what's to come. So, and then another good thing about journaling, it just allows you to freely express yourself without the opinions or judgments of other people. So I definitely encourage people to journal.
Journaling was one you said, but you also, that deep breath thing actually really works. Like, that's not you just talking therapy talk because you're a therapist. That really works because it's been times when I've been about to knock somebody's head off, and I had to take like a few seconds to be like, okay, you know, I took a few deep breaths and I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it, man. This guy's not worth my attention. I'll probably never see him again for the rest of my life. There's no point in me entertaining this right now. The immediate gratification of seeing this guy fall on the ground from me hitting him is not worth it, you know? So that deep breath thing really does help because, like you said, you're forcing your heart rate to slow down by doing that. And that pumps the adrenaline through your body, especially for men. Our adrenaline, so actually, you know, obviously stronger than women's, but especially like around my age, like, it's just on a whole nother level. So I have to calm myself down during those situations so I won't do anything to put myself in a position to go to jail.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you give your body time to catch up with your mind because your mind is like already to 100 at this point, you know, like you're pissed. But by taking those deep breaths, you're just allowing everything else to catch up and you're free, you know, to process what the hell just happened. So very good, Alex.
I want to go a little bit deeper on this self-realization discussion. Give me an example about yourself. Like, what's something about yourself that you had to, you know, just look at and realize about yourself that's something that you had to come to grips with?
Oh, my anxiety. That's been like an issue for me, like majority of my life, actually. I would say between anxiety and depression, like I go through bouts of depression, you know. But the anxiety, it would just be like triggered by like what I guess would be minuscule to other people, but it would be like simple things as me not being able to find something, you know, knowing that I put it somewhere and then like I get really frustrated about it. Like, you know, those type of things like cause me anxiety or traffic. I think that just about gets into everybody. But the depression, that was a major one. Like I said, like I have bouts with it. And that just started from like growing up with like so many different insecurities, I think, you know, and then having some of those insecurities actually like be warranted. For example, me growing up in a single parent household, didn't have a father that really wanted to be present. You know, he was alive and well, had other kids, didn't really want to be present in my own life. So, you know, growing up, little girl, daddy issues, didn't really trust men or know how to really interact with men as I started getting older. And then to later on experience molestation, you know, so that caused, like, a whole another series of depression, just thinking like, okay, well, it was my fault. I'm the one to blame for it. I shouldn't have been so trusting, just thinking like the worst of just about the male species in general, So that was a big thing for me, that I had gone through life for like another 5 years after experiencing, the sexual assault before I actually sought a therapist for myself. And that was just because it was like I was angry like all the time. My family noticed a severe change in me, and I wasn't suicidal necessarily, but it was just, like my character was different. I was always on edge about things. I cried a lot, and I really didn't have like significant reasons to, feel the way that I was, but I just couldn't figure out like what was it about my life that had changed so drastically to now I'm this angry person, when the people that know me the best know that, oh, she's always bubbly, like she's always upbeat and happy. But I really didn't feel that way, So I sought mental health treatment, and through that process, they kind of have you literally unpack your whole life so that you could like draw your own conclusions as to why you are behaving the way that you are. So I kind of resulted all of my anxiety and just my overall anger and depression around, my father not being there, number one, and then two, experiencing sexual assault. That was traumatic. It wasn't a traumatic experience. So getting through that process, my therapist, one of the first things that she told me to do was to build up my self-esteem again. I had to feel happy with who I was, not with what people wanted me to be, not with what people told me that I was. That was a big deal for me. The opinions of others growing up always weighed very heavy on me. I don't know why. I think I'm just a sensitive person by nature. So what she had me do was after our very first session, I had broken down and just about like told her everything in that first session. And I kind of felt bad for it. I unloaded a lot. But what she told me to do, she gave me a homework assignment. And she told me to go home and write down three things that I had done well for the day. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what the hell? Like, I went to work and then I came here to see you. Like, what do you mean? What did I do well today? Like, my day was just a normal day. And then she basically told me, like, no, like, it could be anything. If you got out of bed on time, give yourself a pat on the back for that. If you refrained from eating McDonald's for lunch and, you got some fruit and a salad or something like that, give yourself a pat on the back. Like, she literally encouraged me to be my own cheerleader for any successes that I had. So that was one of the main things, and I'm very grateful for this experience, just to have been involved in therapy myself, because it helped me be a better clinician as well. But then it brought me to like a higher sense of self, I would think. Like, I'm better able to take criticism now due to that one exercise. I don't break down as easily as I once did, just because it really does start with your inner self, the self-realization, going back to that, acknowledging that, okay, I'm on edge all the time, acknowledging that this isn't who I am by nature. I know that I'm a very nice person by nature, and just being able to key in like, okay, something's not right. And, being able to pinpoint exactly when the change started happening, that's really like how I started, making progress. It made me more passionate about the work that I do. It's just, life has taken me through its turns, but, I've come out on top of it each time. Like, I've got hit with a curveball, but it's just by strengthening myself, strengthening what I believe to be true about me, and not letting the people around me or the lack of people around me affirm anything that I have going on.
Well, first of all, Kia, I just want to speak on behalf of myself and everybody who's listening. You are probably one of the more stronger people that we've ever encountered, just for you being able to go through those types of things early on in life, and for you to be able to come out and have the strength to be able to help others out in the way that you do. That just speaks to how strong you are as a person. And I commend you for that, because that's not an easy feat at all. You know, a lot of people put on a mask and act like everything's okay. But for you to be able to acknowledge that and to be able to just come out there and say that like that in that way so elegantly and so professionally, it's just truly just amazing. You know, I'm blown away just like everybody in the chat room. Everybody in the chat room is blown away right now. Some of the things they're saying, they're just, that's amazing to me.
Thank you. You know, it's like an each one teach one thing, you know, because I know I'm not the only person that has experienced, in, you know, something as similar or even like the exact same scenario, you know, growing up with one parent, sexual assault, low self-esteem, you know, like these are common denominators between, I would say, even the majority of people. It's just, you know, like you said, a lot of people don't feel comfortable or confident enough to talk about it, you know, for the fear of being judged, but you know, that's not what it's about.
And like you said earlier, like probably like a few minutes earlier, maybe 10 minutes earlier, a lot of people think there's something wrong with them because that occurred. You know, that plants a seed in their mind to make them have the thought process that they're the reason why this person did this to them. It wasn't that because that person was a sick fuck. It was because of them. They're the reason why that person did that. And that's not true. There's literally nothing wrong with you, like you said. That's a huge problem because a lot of people grow up with that insecurity in their mind. They think that they're the reason why this person did something to them in a certain way that you're not supposed to. Molestation, touching somebody the wrong way, all that. That's not because of you. That's because that person is a fucking sicko. That's why. So.
Exactly. And, you know, like for the victim, on the victim end of things, you get other feelings, you know, besides like shame, you get guilt. You know, like, it makes you literally feel like you said, like, you know, you're the one to blame for it. And, it, you know, it's really, like, you know, the tool of the manipulator, you know, that's what they do. They literally would try to manipulate your mind to think that, like, you're lesser than what you really are. And so that's the hard part about coming out of that type of trauma, you know. But I'm definitely, like, a better person. You know, sad to say, like, I have to become the person that I am through that process. But, you know, like, and to be honest, like, just for who I am today, I wouldn't change it, you know, because everybody, I feel like everybody has to go through the fire in order to be shaped into something more beautiful.
That's exactly right.
Like, what is
right.
It? Like, you know how you make the glass? You know what I mean? Like, what is that called?
I don't know. I don't make glass.
You know, the glass making.
I know exactly.
When the fire come out shiny and marbly, you know what I mean? Like, just that type of thing.
Yeah, you put the fire on the sand, it becomes glass kind of thing. You know, I feel you. I definitely feel you. So, Ryan Badgley, one of the people inside the chat room, really good guy, man. He's his question was, what's the best place to go if you need help with anxiety, attack, and depression? Should some go to a doctor or a hospital?
If you're talking about, like, physical symptoms of anxiety, then, yeah, I would say, like, if it's that severe, like, you know, like, almost, like, borderline heart attack symptoms, because that's the thing. Heart attack and anxiety attack symptoms are very, very, very similar, you know? So I would just say, like, anytime that you feel like your health, your overall health is at risk, please seek medical attention for that. But anxiety exercise that you could do, like, just when you're in the house, if you feel like an anxiety attack could be coming on, again, just try to stay in the moment. A good exercise, it really is so relaxing. It's almost like a meditative process, but what you'll want to do is just, like, want to center yourself in whatever environment that you're in that moment. Pick up on the smells in the room, you know, focus, like, change your focus. That's what I'm really trying to say. Focus on what the room smells like, or focus on the different sounds that you hear around you. You know, like, you want to do things like that, again, to bring the physical symptoms back down. You know, even though you might still be feeling anxious, your body won't feel it as much anymore just from doing those type of things. It's really, like, training your mind to redirect itself. That's one of the hardest processes of, you know, like, trying to improve your mental health. But yeah, once you can key into, like, when your body is starting to feel anxious, and, you know, like I said, as long as the symptoms are not as severe or closely related to those of a heart attack, then I would say, you know, most of the time you can really help yourself before seeking medical attention, because hate to say it because I'm in the field, but at the same time, you know, people, it's still a business. So people are very quick to want to put you on a medication, and I'm more of a holistic approach type of person. You know, I'm going to look for all the DIYs and home remedies before I seek out medicinal treatment. So,
well, yeah, because a lot of people, some of those medication, man, it's like so many milligrams. Like, you're not yourself sometimes when you take some of those medications.
No, you're not.
And it is better because, like, for me, I dealt for anxiety. Like I said, it was really bad to the point where I was sweating and I would like feel like I'm about to pass out. And one thing I did, like I said, I started writing down what the issue was. And once I started writing it down, writing down the issue of trying to figure out what was going on with me, that's when I came to a realization that a lot of that shit was stupid. You know, it's like, oh, it's just in my mind. Like, I had a quote last week. I said, anxiety is you being afraid of something that's never happened before. That's mm-hmm. pretty much, that's basically what it is to me. So right. For me, I have that embedded in my brain. I need everybody out there that has anxiety problems to get that stuck in your head. You're afraid of something that's never happened before. And once you understand that, you will not be afraid no more because it's not happening. You know, it's not happening. I was literally afraid to get on the expressway, like to the point where I literally stayed in the house when I got invited places because I thought, I don't know what the hell was going to happen when I got on there. It was crazy. But once I got it written down, once I got it in my mind, like you said, I'm not a medication kind of guy at all, man. I really hate taking medication. I'd rather center myself, write down, you know, what the issue is, and come to the realization in my mind that shit is not going to happen in real life. So
yeah, and if you take it a step further on a scientific level, the medications that they'll prescribe. Let's just go with Xanax right now, right? That's an anxiety medication. It's responsible for increasing your body's production of the happy hormone, serotonin, right? So it's like, okay, that's the, you know, medicinal way to increase that level of serotonin. But, you know, what about just going to the park, looking at some nature, you know, boom, serotonin levels spike. Get a dog, get a little cute puppy, you know what I mean? Boom, serotonin levels are spiking. You know, there's other things that you could do to naturally boost your body's development of these hormones that is responsible for your mood. You know what I mean? But people don't realize that. They don't know that. They don't know those things. The doctors don't tell them that. And they also don't tell them that medication is twice as effective when you're, like, in dual with therapy. You know, a lot of these doctors, they'll prescribe you medication, send you on your way. And you're wondering why you're not getting better or why your prescription keeps getting higher, like your dosage keeps getting higher. Well, it's because your body's getting used to it now, and you feel like it's not really working. It's because you're not in dual with, you know, therapy. Get those skills to manage it on your own. You're depending on this medication to make you feel better, and that's not what it's designed. Well,
that's literally what I was literally just about to say that, Kia. I was about to say sometimes that medication, you get hooked on it, and your mind gets used to it. So it's like you have to start taking stronger dosages, and that leads to an addiction. And there you go, it's a snowball effect. Now you're fucked up, and you're on drugs now. Good job. Thanks,
exactly.
Doctor.
That's you did. My whole point, so.
You did a hell of a job, doctor.
With my clients, and I predominantly work with adolescents and young adults, but when I work with my adolescents, and even like sometimes the younger children, when I see them prescribed on such heavy medications, I always talk to the parents, and I just encourage them to do their own independent research on the medication that is being prescribed, the long-term effects of those medications, you know, and things like that, because, I mean, you know, medicine is not the end-all, be-all, especially not with mental health. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, a person that's dealing with more severe mental illnesses, that's a whole different thing. You know, those medications and things like that still in dual with therapy. I'm not going to say medicine is not necessary in special cases. I'm just saying, you know, be that better advocate for yourself to get the best health care that you can get rather than just what's thrown together in a bottle, you know.
So I want to give you a couple of comments from the chat room, and I'm hit you with another question. Ashley says, thanks for sharing, Kia. You know, a lot of people are fired up about your message and about your testimony. It really means a lot to everybody in the chat room. The Pooh Boss says, sounds like Kia has done a great job being so honest with herself. And that, like I said, that's these people, like some of these comments in here, you can read them later on when you get a chance. But these people are really enjoying you sharing what you have to say with us. This really means a lot to them. So.
Oh, great. No, that really makes me feel good, though. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, like, again, it's like the each one teach one. Like, it took me to have somebody else that has experienced something, you know, slightly similar to what I have endured to give me the tools in order to move beyond that. You know, and it's just a shame that these type of things aren't more widely taught because it's so important.
I want to get to stigmas a little later, but I got a question for you. So what are signs that a child could be going through anxiety or depression? Like, what should a parent be looking for in a child to see if they're going through those things?
Okay. Isolation will probably be like the number one thing. If your child begins to withdraw from you or just withdraw from any activities that they want to really enjoy, that's something to key into. Mood swings. Outside of, you know, puberty, you know, that's just going to happen with that. But it depends, like, on the severity of the mood swings. Like, if it's just, like, constantly 0 to 100, you might want to figure out, okay, what's going on? Like, you know your kid. You know their temperament. So what else could be a sign of depression? Just overall, like, being like lethargic, sleeping a lot, either a severe increase in appetite or a severe lack in appetite. It's like a hit or miss with that, though. And just like, you know, like new behavior patterns. If your child just all of a sudden does like a drastic change to their look, that's a part of growing up, you know, self-discovery, of course. But if it's just like, okay, one day your kid is dressed in yellow and rainbows, the next day they have, you know, all these piercings in their face, you know, they're acting out, trying to get that attention, but it's just like you want to find out why, what type of attention you're trying to get, like, what is it that you're lacking, what is it that you're missing, and, you know, they're going to act out 9 times out of 10, bad behavior in school, they, you know, your kid might be fine at home, behavior-wise, but when they get to school, you know, you're getting phone calls home, you're like, well, I didn't raise my kid like that. So why is he or she acting out at school? You know, it could be something going on at school that they're not necessarily expressing. So those are things that I will say are like the big, like, flashing lights. Like, okay, you know, be in tune with your kid. And do, like, you know, if you don't want to do daily checkups with your kid, do, like, weekly check-ins, you know, just to be there for them, just to ask them, like, you know, how's everything going? Is there anything that you want to talk about? Like, how often do kids get to hear that from their parents, you know?
It doesn't seem like a lot, not with our generation. Parents our age and younger don't seem to ask their kids shit. They just give them a tablet and leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or
they don't have
to, go play your room, go do this, go do that.
It doesn't seem like they have the connection with their kids. So the whole thing, the isolating thing, seems like a big thing to me, though. Like, kids should be outside playing together, man. Like, they should be out there riding bikes together, playing basketball. They shouldn't be sitting in a room all by themselves all day long.
Right. And especially if they once did do those things. You know, your kid used to be playing outside, used to love video games. Now you can't really get them to do anything like that. That's like a big one. Mm-hmm.
That seems like that's a telltale sign that they're going through something in their mind for them to just, like you said, they love these things at one point, but all of a sudden they just feel like they're just need to be by themselves. And, you know, mom, I really don't feel like going outside today.
Right. You know, they, like, you couldn't bring them in the house before. Now they don't even want to go out. Yeah.
I want to move on a little bit from that. I want to talk about the stigmas against mental health treatment. Like I said earlier in the show, we were talking about how minorities were viewed a certain way. You know, like, we feel a certain way about mental health treatment prominent in our neighborhoods is, like, a lot of people shun down on it. Like, they make it seem like it's not a real problem, it's not a real issue. A lot of parents, older people mostly, older people from, like, the South, stuff like that, say things like, boy, ain't nothing wrong with you, boy. You just, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're just acting up.
Right.
I want to hear what your opinion about that is. Like, why do, you know, why is that such a thing inside of our community for people to shun down on mental health treatment like that?
Think that it partially just comes from like not believing that, you know, like something could be going wrong in your mind. You know, we were kind of raised, like I said, with a be strong mentality. You know, if you're crying about it, dry it up. I don't want to hear it. You know, it's one of those type of things. So it's like emotion is like a taboo in the community, to be totally honest with you. It's like the moment you show any type of emotion, we associate that with weakness. And that's not the case. You know, we're human. We're supposed to feel these emotions. So allow me to feel them. Allow me to express them, but in a healthy manner. That's, you know, the difficult thing. And another thing with the minority community, I believe to be, is religion. Religion is a big deal.
Man, when I said that, I shook the table when I said that. I don't mean to cut you off, but when I said that, like, every time somebody got something going on with them, the first thing that they say is, I'll pray for you. Prayer works, but in the Bible it says, faith without works is dead. So you have to work towards helping that person. Just saying you'll pray for them doesn't mean anything. You have to help them go get the mental health treatment they need. Mm-hmm. Praying for them is not going to do everything that they, you know, praying is just like, whatever, okay, I'll pray for you. I feel like that's brushing it off, but go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's exactly it, though. You know, it's just like, you know, and let me just clear this up. I am a woman of faith, you know, so like I'm not saying that prayer is not useful. I definitely believe, it depends on your beliefs, but I believe that it definitely is helpful. Like you said, without the work that's put behind it, you know, I feel like instead of always asking a higher power to change the circumstances, I feel like, you know, okay, if religion is your go-to source, that's totally fine. You know, you're entitled to that. But maybe ask for, like, you know, the strength to get through a situation or the strength to handle it in a certain way. You know what I mean? Because then, you know, some certain doors might start opening for you. Like, I had this person to talk to on the train today. It was a really random conversation, but I feel a lot better. You know, I feel like things like that will start happening if, like, I don't know. It's like once you, what is it called? I can't think of the actual term for it, but it's when you think something, oh, like you almost persevere on it over and over again, it becomes a habit, you know? So I feel like the more you can train yourself to, I guess, advocate for yourself, you know, that's how you'll really end up making, you know, getting the work done or making that change. But if you do decide to go the faith way, just, you know, I guess know how to go about it while applying the work that you actually have to do. You know what I mean? This isn't like a genie in a bottle type of situation. Like, you actually have to help yourself.
You actually have to help yourself. Exactly. You can't rely on the adults in your life to help you out, because sometimes they're ignorant to what's going on with you, especially if you don't, you know, you have to pretty much like lay it down step by step with them, what's going on with your mind. They don't know what's going on with you. You tell them one thing, and they, like I said earlier, they literally just push it off to the side. They don't care. You know, mm-hmm. When you get to a certain age, if you feel like you're accountable for yourself, you have to go get yourself help. Probably like around maybe 12, 13 years old, maybe. That's like probably around the age where you could probably start for yourself getting some kind of help, maybe. Let a counselor know at school or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in a younger age, like we was talking about with the children, man, like it's sad that kids got to grow up and parents just like completely ignore signs of mental health issues. Like your kid, like we said earlier, your kid's always outside. He's always having fun with his friends. And all of a sudden he just stops wanting to go outside. Like, that's not fucking normal, man. Like, that, you could easily tell something's going on. Come on now.
Exactly. And, you know, and then like another thing too, what is hurting our children is the lack of accountability that comes from the parents at times. They don't realize that maybe a thing that they were talking to their friend about, you know, about what their son has just done or what their son got in trouble about, how that could affect their child. You know what I mean? Like sharing personal information with family friends, other family members, you know, things of that nature, that could be a blow to your child's self-esteem, which causes them to withdraw from you. So now they don't feel comfortable talking to you, their parent, about it, because you ruined that level of trust. You know, that's the worst thing that I feel a parent could do. You know, your child is misbehaving or acting out in a certain way, and instead of trying to get to the root of it, you cause more ridicule. You know, you call your friends up to talk bad about your kid. And that's just something that I personally disagree with. And that's something that I witness quite often in the community that I work with. You know, the parents are always blaming the kid. Something wrong with the kid. I don't know what's wrong. But a lot of the times, you know, the child is just a product of their environment.
Bobby Phelan inside the chat room says there needs to be that set difference between building your children up by telling them they'll be okay, than not knowing that they actually need assistance with what they're going through.
I agree. Like, how do you know they're going to be okay? Do you know the severity of it? And
do you know what's on their mind? Like, do you know? Because right. The mind is like, literally, your brain is so powerful that it could create physical ailments in your body. Like, from
that's,
you.
Yes, exactly.
From you thinking that you could literally think, like, okay, blah, blah, blah. My stomach's been hurting for like a fucking week. No, I think I got stomach cancer now. And all of a sudden, because the anxiety in your mind is so powerful, now you feel like that's what you got going on with you, man. It's crazy how powerful your mind is. That's why, like mm-hmm. you said, you need to make sure that you talk to your kids and figure out exactly what's going on with them. Even with your friends at our age, like, someone says, I'm going through this, you know, someone tells you I just got fired from a job, and they say, like, I'm going to be okay. No, they're not going to be okay. You know, that's their livelihood.
Like,
that's their money. That's their money,
exactly.
You know?
Like, how do you know? How do you know they're going to be okay? Because you would be okay in that situation? Well, newsflash, you guys are not the same person, you know? And I think that's another thing that we have to stop doing. We have to stop equating our own personal feelings and emotions to those of other people. You know, we're not all going to perceive things the same way, so therefore we cannot go about them the same way. It's really all in, like, the perception of the event. For example, you know, like I was telling you about how me not being able to find, like, a sock or a shoe, that really gets me going in the morning. When I can't find a shoe, that ticks me off. You know, for some people, I'd be like, okay, like, seriously, that's what gets her going, you know? But it just depends on the person, you know? And I mean, that's, like, on the, you know, the less severe of, you know, the anxiety scale. But you get my drift, what I'm trying to say. It's just like, you know, we don't perceive things the same way, so we can't handle every situation in this one uniform manner, you know?
Yeah, we have to do a way better job. Like, not even just minority community, just in general, we need to do a much better job of identifying something that's not normal about someone that we know and someone that we care about, someone that we love. We need to do a better job of just identifying how they have something going on with them. Like, even if you hear from them for you know, a certain period of time, then all of a sudden you just stop hearing from them, you know, mm-hmm. as frequently, something could be going on with them. You need to reach out to them and let them know that you care about them and that you love them and that you want them to be successful with life. And not only just successful life, you want them to be, you know, the best person that they could possibly be. You need to reach out to them and let them know that. And you don't have to say it directly like that, but in a way, you have to let them know that. Because that means a lot. Just reaching out and saying it to people means a lot to them. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely does. Like, you know, just that one question, like, how are you? You don't know, like, how that could impact somebody's day. You know what I mean? That person could have been on the brink of doing something completely outlandish. And just that one person tuning in to care enough to notice that something is going wrong, that is what I believe to make one of, like, the biggest differences, especially in the youth.
So my mom says, she says, parenting involves helping your child develop emotionally and helping them work through the problem in a healthy manner.
I agree.
And she's not wrong. She's 100% correct.
Hi, Mom.
Children cannot raise themselves and need the guidance and direction of a parent, not ridicule from the parent. If you're ridiculing your kid, like, Let's say your child comes home and they're just emotionally distraught about something that happened at school. Like, somebody such and such said this about me, and you just laugh. I'm like, ha, you got upset about that? Like, come on, man. What the fuck is wrong with you? You know, this is a kid.
Right.
Kids don't understand, you know. Well, some people joke around like that at a certain age, but they do. But as a child, you don't understand that. So you tell a child, your child hears that, and you joke around, and you instead of you reassuring them, you take the opportunity to step on them more in a way, laugh at them. That the kid's not gonna ever forget that. They're never gonna forget that. You know, they remember that for a long time.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. It's just like some things that come out of the mouths of not only people, but your parents. Those are the things that are going to stick the hardest, you know. You could brush off something that maybe somebody in your class said or somebody on the street said, but for that to come from the person that's supposed to love you unconditionally, you know, through to be supportive through whatever the situation is, so, you know, to be ridiculed through that, like that could really do some damage to the child's development, like overall development.
Can I need a couple more triggers. Like, can I hear a trigger about, like, let me know something that about somebody that lets you know that they're dealing with some type of depression. Like, what's a trigger for that? Like, what's something that could let you know that they had that going on with them?
Something that, like, you would see somebody else.
Give me an example, because in your field, let's say you have a new client or new patient, and you're trying to see, you know, you're with them for the first couple of times. Give me an example of, like, what shows to you that they're dealing with some kind of depression, like an adult client.
I guess, like, their mannerisms, you know what I mean? The avoidance of, like, eye contact, you know, they're not really feeling too confident about what they're saying, or they're feeling, like, kind of shy to say what they need to say. Like, they're kind of, like, trying to hide a part of themselves, you know what I mean? That's one. And I feel like just overall, like, people who are just always, like, seemingly, like, in a bad mood or, like, have a nasty attitude, I feel like those people are actually, like, potentially the saddest, to be totally honest with you.
Really?
And, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we were taught that anger is a secondary emotion while sadness is the primary emotion. So it's just like, you know, being mad feels better than feeling sad, you know, like, honestly. You know, you'd rather be mad and just be upset and take it out on something rather than to actually feel that hurt, you know, feel that low about something. You know, it feels better to be mad. So after being sad for so long, then that then translates into being angry, you know. So if you meet really abrasive people, I mean, some people are just buttholes, I guess, by nature, but, you know, I think more times than not, though, there's a deeper, you know, rooted problem going on. You know, they've been hurt a lot, apparently, and that's just from my experience and what I've seen. When I'm dealing with really angry individuals, they've dealt with a lot of stuff, a lot, and it's, you know, more than the average human being could bear. But, you know, in order for them to maintain, they have to come off as being angry, because I feel like if they actually allow themselves to feel that sadness, you know what I mean? The outcome of that might be worse than them being angry. So, and that's just my perception on it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you know, as far as, like, the anger thing, when people hide how they feel about stuff, a lot of us, like you said earlier, we do grow up in abusive households, and we never learn how to cope with what happened to us, because we're never put in a situation to get professional help to learn how to. So a lot of our outlets are either drugs or just being fucking pissed off at everything all the time.
Exactly.
It's crazy to think about that. Man, like, a lot of the things you're saying, I've dealt with myself. Like, I've been just by myself some days, just be mad to the point where you ever been so mad that you just feel your blood boiling. But I have to catch myself, like, why the fuck am I so mad right now? Like, what's going on with me for me to feel this way? And it's a lot of suppressed rage and anger. You know, it stays inside you and it just comes out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel you on that, for real. Like, people really deal with it, and they just have different ways of expressing it. So, whew, man. I've changed a lot over the years. I've learned what I had going on with me, and I've been working towards it. So, I have a question for you. So, Gaines' report inside the chat room says, could you ask Kia, does she believe a life coach and or mentor would be beneficial? Personally, it's changed everything for me. Is what I guess he wanted to say.
Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely think it's beneficial for anybody who's willing to engage in the process, you know, but you just have to be open to it for it to work. A lot of people go into thinking that having a mentor or having a therapist, that first of all, something is wrong with them. So a lot of people might rebel against the process initially. You know, they want to be seen as being crazy or being less than, so they rebel against it. But then it's just, I'm trying to think of the right word, how to put this into the right words. Therapist's job is not to fix you. I think that's the main thing that people will have misconstrued. They think like, okay, I'm going to go into this office. This person's going to fix me. I'm going to be better. You know, it's like, no, really my only job is to ask you a bunch of open-ended questions to have you talk yourself around to your own conclusion. You know, that's really like what my job is. You know what I mean? Like I lead you along the way, but you are, you know, you're the one that's going to help you arrive, you know. So I definitely think having a mentor or a therapist, life coach, whatever you want to call it, I really think that it is beneficial, but you must be open to the process in order for it to actually work. You know, if you come in there with a chip on your shoulder thinking the things that I just mentioned, then you might not get the results that you were hoping for.
Yeah, Kia, I first of all, I would like to thank you for your time tonight. You could have easily told me, no, I don't feel like coming on and talking, but not only for your time, but for you to be able to come on and be as open as you were and share your testimony, talk about some things you went through, just to make people feel comfortable and let them know, like, they are normal, because it happens to more people than it doesn't. You know, a lot of people don't speak out about it. They feel, like, ashamed to talk about it. For you to be able to come on to my Let's Talk About It, no, Let's Talk It Out show and talk about it to these people, is amazing to me. Like, for you to just be able to share that type of information is just amazing to me, and I'm pretty sure everybody appreciates it a lot.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me. I'm hoping that what I, you know, the light that I did shed, I hope that it did reach at least one person. If I reach one person, then my job is, you know, complete. But all glory be to God. This is, you know, his calling for me on my life. So, you know, just doing his work.
Well, before you go, I would like, before we get off the show, actually, I want the people to get your social media handles. Like, what, I know you don't really mess with Twitter, so what's your Instagram for the people?
My Instagram is Kia.Martina. Kia.Martin with an A.
That's the best way to put it, Martin with an A. You guys know my handles already, so... we're going to go ahead and get out of here. It's been about the hour mark. I said it's going to be about an hour long. That's about it. I don't want to keep anybody up longer than they have to be. I know people have work and lives. So thank you all for tuning in tonight. I look forward to talking to you guys next week. And I hope you guys have a good week. Until then, good night.